Last year, I came across a book by an evangelical pastor in California named Tim Chaddick called The Truth About Lies, The Unlikely Role of Temptation in Who You Will Become. Now, it was a fascinating book in many ways, and I thought that some of his insights would be useful as a springboard for a Lenten sermon series, particularly given that the first Sunday of Lent in year C is the reading of the temptation of Jesus. Now, I didn't suggest the book as Lenten reading. You know, often if there's something which kind of, you know, gets my gears going thinking about something, I'll say, well, I'll preach on this and then we'll read it as a parish. I didn't do that this time because the book is also suffused with a very Calvinist understanding of grace and the human condition. So I want to avoid all that. But there is a lot of merit to it as well. So some of his thoughts will be kind of interwoven with my own during this sermon series. And I have to say, it really is quite a joy to be back at the Saturday night Mass. It's been a while since I've been with you for just more than one kind of Saturday at a time. So it'll be good to pray through Lent with you. The book starts out recalling a relatively recent event. Some of you may remember in 2014 when the MV Sewol capsized off of the coast of South Korea. And if you watch the television images on the news, you'll remember as we watched in horror as the captain of the ship, Lee Jun-seok, abandoned his crew and passengers and ran as fast as he could to safety, while one of his subordinates, Park Ji-young, stepped up and saved as many people as she could, even sacrificing her own life jacket. This whole episode points to the fact that a crisis does not create convictions. It reveals them. In a crisis, we don't usually all of a sudden become a hero. In a crisis, our action becomes the culmination of all of the choices we make in life. Those moments which define our character in public before others don't come out of nowhere. They're the fruit of countless private day in and day out decisions. They are the result of virtue, which St. Thomas Aquinas defines as a good habit bearing on activity. We possess virtue when we consistently choose to do good and avoid evil in all of our activities. Now, I think all of us want to be virtuous. I don't think there's anybody who, you know, when they're a kid, grows up saying, you know what, I want to be the most evil man in the entire world, right? I certainly hope not. What a disastrous child that would be, right? We want to be good. As Christians, we even want to be holy, as God is holy. But then, in our quietest moments, even when we want to convince ourselves that we would have the courage to save everyone we could on a sinking ship, we have to say to ourselves, but would I? Given that I've made so many other bad choices in my life? That's where temptation comes in. We've all experienced it. We've all experienced the times when we have resisted it and the times when we just gave in to it. As the atheist philosopher Alain de Botton accurately observed, there is something about temptation which reveals our deepest convictions. Temptation uncovers the heart's desires. It proves the depth and direction of what we really care about what is truly tugging on our heartstrings. Now, there are some Christians who believe that after the original sin of Adam and Eve, human nature is just corrupt, and we're all children of wrath, and there's absolutely nothing we can do about it. For them, even temptation itself is already a sin. All that Jesus can do at least according to an image attributed falsely to Martin Luther. Often people say that he said this, but it's not entirely clear that that is actually the case. But this image is that Jesus pretends that we're just a pile of excrement, and he covers it with snow and holds his nose, right? Well, the Catholic Church, as the Reformation kind of elaborated on this theory, as you can imagine, reacted quite violently and condemned this notion as a heresy. We do not believe that as Catholic Christians. For the church, man is made in the image and likeness of God. And you know, we may lose some of that likeness because of sin, but God's grace truly sanctifies us. It makes us holy. It deifies us. It makes us like God. God doesn't stand in his heavens pretending that we're something that we're not and holding his nose. And so temptation is not a sin. It's important for us to realize this. Temptation itself is not a sin. It doesn't even matter how horrifying and ghastly the temptation is. Temptation itself is not a sin. But we do have to avoid temptation so that we do not sin, so that we can truly be who we really are, children of a loving God destined for glory. But you may be thinking, okay, well, Father, I can accept, okay, temptation's not a sin, but you know, how are we supposed to escape it? Especially when, you know what, sometimes it is so strong that we just feel completely and utterly overwhelmed by it, don't we? How do we avoid it when we find ourselves mired in addictive behaviors? When we have a sense of hopelessness, prone to despair that we will ever get it right? And what do we do when we've lost everything and everyone around us because of our sin? Well, the world proposes to us these principles of healthy living, okay? The world says there are certain principles, if we just kind of follow them, then, you know, we'd be kind of happier people. The world tells us that, you know what, we're okay. We just have to accept ourselves as we are. And we have to find healthy ways of self-help to be happy. Even if we mess up, that's okay because, you know what, nobody's perfect. The church gives us a very different message, doesn't she? The church tells us that, you know what, you're not okay. And that's okay. We are called to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. And we can actually achieve that perfection by embracing the cross of suffering, and by it, we can be led to eternal glory. The world gives us these principles. The church points us to a person. Now, don't get me wrong, principles may be useful, okay? I'm not saying don't go to a psychologist if you need to, or that it's bad to harness the power of positive thinking, okay? What I am saying is that that is simply not enough. And that we cannot on our own steam be good for long. We need to be saved. We need someone who is going to embrace us in such a way as that he's going to love us into goodness and show us that we can be perfect and we can be like God. As Paul wrote to Titus in chapter 2, verses 11 to 13, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." That training that Paul writes about to Titus. That training is what we need to renounce everything that keeps us from being the version of ourselves that God destined us to be. That training is the way of discipleship. And Lent is that privileged time, that healing time decreed by God, when we focus in a very particular way on how we allow God to train the will and the heart to choose Him, to develop that habit, that virtue of consistently choosing Him, and to convert, to turn away from evil. Lent is when we wander out into the desert and deliberately choose not to be distracted by things, which they may be good in and of themselves, but which can get in the way of our encountering God. Fasting, giving alms, prayer, and performing works of mercy, they don't earn our salvation. Okay? Our salvation is a free gift that comes from God. But all of those Lenten spiritual practices that we do, they till the soil of the heart so that when we look at the passion and death of Jesus Christ, we can be moved to those tears of repentance which do bring about forgiveness. Our Holy Father, Pope Francis, in calling the entire church to celebrate a year of mercy, has asked us to look more closely at the mystery of forgiveness. You know, each one of us at one time or another in life is going to come into close and terrifying contact with the heart of darkness. The father of lies, the prince of darkness, the world, the flesh, and the devil want to convince us that we are not destined to glory. They want to convince us that we are not truly loved by God. But when we draw near to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, to the Lord whose property is to be merciful, then we find that, yes, the chains of sin and the bonds of despair, you know what, they can be broken and broken forever. And that we can be truly free. When we are faced with temptation, when the slippery tongue of the evil one whispers in our ears, let us not fail to be courageous. Let us seek shelter in the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Let us run to Him with simplicity and courage and throw ourselves into His arms. And then the darkness in our heart will be cast out, and light will flood and bathe our souls with joy and true happiness. Lent is not when we make X number of sacrifices to earn Y amount of righteousness. Lent is when we learn to rest in the heart of Christ and joyfully give thanks to Him for taking on Himself all of our sin and pain.